they have. What then it
especially
can,
when it is unreachable, you know?
Exactly. No, even if it is reachable, sometimes really, really, we do not need to know many things, but unfortunately we know them. It's useless.
What's the use?
Yeah, yeah. We should be very much...
being informative, Shay.
Informative,
you know?
And also informative of what, you know?
Okay.
You know, in our House of Books, there is a very beautiful phrase at the beginning of Sarfi Mira, I guess. It says, أَوَّلُ الْعِلْمِ مَعْرِفَةُ الْجَبَّارِ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, أَوَّلُ الْعِلْمِ مَعْرِفَةُ الْجَبَّارِ. If I'm not mistaken, it's in Sarfi Mira, I think. And this is the best ilm, ma'rifatul jabbar, that we have to gain. If you spend all 24 hours gaining this ma'rifah, then that is the most beautiful thing, the most, it's the best thing, the perfect thing that you can achieve. But if you waste your life, this, for example, global village.
Yes.
Knowing about that, let's say, angle, about that corner, about that, I don't know,
especially
mountain, about the desert, about that food, all these things, trivial things that are on the okay. on the mass media and all see that.
So you mean being concerned with all this mundane materialistic world keeps a Muslim away from
yeah my final point is this okay. that even if you want to make use of this let's say positives of the cyberspace, try to be selective.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, try to be selective. And try to go on to those websites, to those pages, I don't know, to those social networks that provide you with good knowledge,
mm-hmm.
with good, let's say, information.
Yes.
That helps you, that suits you more, you know? And do not waste your time just looking everywhere and
surfing here and there.
That's wastage right. of time. That is guna. That's a ma'asiyah. That is sin.
Uh-huh.
Should not commit sin. Wasting yeah. the time is the major
and
sin.
And gradually the sin is
yeah,
going to happen.
It becomes like right. something okay. habitual to you, and then it becomes a habit. And of course, unfortunately,
an addiction, you know, according to the statistics,
exactly,
so many
exactly.
of the people,
you know, sometimes
the new types of addiction is not to narcotics or drugs. You know,
exactly. Yeah, yes. That's a very good point. You know, we have in the Holy Quran, sometimes it is said that some people will be khalidina fil nar. Then if you go to the riwayat, the ahadith and riwayat and the interpretations, the exegesis of the holy ayat is they say that the khalidina fil nar, those people who are always forever in nar, they are the people that the guna and ma'asiyah and sin, they commit sin that much that it becomes part of their identity.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes part of their existence.
Yes.
It becomes part of their essence, their mahiya, and it is not separable from them.
Mm-hmm.
Then these people has no any other place except for
hellfire. That's right.
You know? So that's why we should not commit sin to that extent that it becomes our identity.
Yes.
The people know us with this guna, with this ma'asiyah.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Then this kind of people, their mahiyah, their essence, their dhat, their nature become that sin. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even cannot bring him out of the hellfire, because the only place that he deserves to be eternally in that hellfire. So that's why we must be very much careful. Our Muslim brothers, the mu'mineen, must be really careful that sometimes this cyberspace, these social networks, internet, might cause this problem, that something repeatedly we watch or we commit to the extent that it becomes part of our essence.
Yes.
And then neither we ourselves can separate it from ourselves, nor Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or angels.
That's right.
Then, of course, we the only place that we would deserve then, that would be the hellfire. So in order to save us from the hellfire, our brothers and sisters, Muslim
yes.
brothers and sisters, mu'minin, should be very much concerned
yes.
and careful, as rightly mentioned by our brother Sayyid,
yes.
that parents, elder brothers, sisters,
yes.
teachers, schools, I don't know, whatever institute or organization or people or...
Yes.
Let's say whoever can help,
uh-huh.
they should help each other, inshallah, to save us from hellfire.
Yeah,
that's the point. Yeah.
Unfortunately, the parents and the teachers themselves are busy very much nowadays. You know, it very much reminds me of this famous. I think it's a proverb or idiom in English that says that the grass is greener on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
always announced.
Yeah, by looking at these, I mean the things which seems to be greener than what we have ourselves, our own belongings. Gradually, the people are tempted easily in order to fall into the traps of Satan, and sometimes, you know, lose all their identity. I mean, in terms of the value, Islamic identity, the national one, the language, the color one, and to be the same as the other people are. And I think this is, is led on purpose, we can say at least now, by the footages that we see on the videos, that we see on the social networks, that they are a kind of, after a kind of lifestyle, which is going to have effects on the traditional way of thinking, or at least it's better to call it a kind of foundational system of thinkings, like, for example, getting married or establish a kind of family or having legal relation between the opposite genders, you know. All in all, and the Muslim lands are a good target for them, isn't it, Sayyid?
Right. So it seems like that these social media companies, they are controlled by such forces. Obviously, yes. You know, it's difficult to kind of, you know, properly know what to what extent and what role. But it does seem like there is an agenda.
Yes.
And perhaps one clear example is what's happening right now in Israel and Palestine.
Yeah.
Where these companies are trying to, you know, limit those voices,
yes,
that are being raised for the sake of Palestine.
The pages are shut down, you know, the pages after Palestinian rights are shut down. Mm-hmm. The X pages, right. Twitter, you know, the former Twitter one, the X now, the Twitter one, you know, are closed or shut down, yes.
They're shut down, and also like the posts that are made,
yes,
they're not available to as many people. Mm-hmm. You know, the algorithms that are there, yes, they, you know, limit the reach of these posts that are pro-Palestine. So, yes, you know, upon the Muslims, it seems like as well that this kind of, you know, an agenda is there. Now, there could be different reasons for it. One clear reason is the idea that if you make people who are, you know, after their own desires, after, you know, things of this dunya,
yes,
then you make better consumers.
Mm-hmm.
You're able to get more money out of them. Okay.
Yes.
So at the very least, this incentive is there for them.
Mm-hmm.
That if they can, you know, get people to, you know, by looking at other people's posts, by looking at these advertisements, buy more and have a lifestyle that is a lavish lifestyle.
Yes.
Never content with what we have,
yes,
but we always want more. That is, you know, good business for them.
Yes.
Or if they can get these people to, you know, go towards other things on the internet where they'll be spending their money and, you know, fulfilling their desires, like pornography, as you mentioned, then try to get, you know, these people to do that, and that brings also corruption within,
yes,
the human soul and within the Muslims as well. So for sure, this kind of agenda is there. At the moral level,
mm-hmm,
but even at the political level, you,
yes,
know, there is an agenda, as you mentioned, about Palestine.
Yes.
That agenda is there. Or, for example, creating uprisings within,
yes,
some of these countries, like,
yes,
the Islamic Republic, for example, okay, that they want to now use these platforms to instigate these,
yes,
kind of feelings.
Mm-hmm.
So this kind of agenda is definitely there as well.
Yes. Okay. Thank you very much, Sayyid Zain and Sheikh Rouhani, for a nice,
mm-hmm,
elaboration regarding the negative effects of the cyberspace or virtual world on the lives of the people. It was very kind of you. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. For more information on this program and other programs, visit our website, parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. Till another episode, God bless you all and fi amanallah.
You came to us with a heart so full of love, and you showed that you're the one who cares the most, and to us you've always been so close. Everyone will say, please save me, except Al-Habib. Ummati, yaqulaha lana yawm al-qiyamati. Ummati, yaqulaha shafa'at. أنا لها أنا لها.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard by the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Southern Africa can tune in to the English service of the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. Now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. This is Hossein Latifi and you're listening to a program for humanity from IRIB English Radio. In this program, we talk about the concept of humanity in the verses of the Holy Quran and the teachings of the religion of Islam. In the previous episodes, we talked about the position of intellect as one significant dimension and aspect of human soul, the position that it has, intellect, in the verses of the Holy Quran and the hadith of the Prophet and it's been 2-3 episodes that we are talking about one beautiful hadith from the Prophet, and we are trying to connect some of the phrases of this hadith to the verses of the Holy Quran and realize what are those verses that this hadith is interpreting. And the hadith basically talks about different virtues that are the signs of a person with perfect intellect. The Prophet says that a believer will not have a perfect intellect until he has such or she has such features and such virtues. So we talked about some of these virtues, and some of them being about learning, some of them being about being humble, some of them being about like being immune or not harming others. So the virtue that we're gonna cover this episode is about being content. نصيبهم من الدنيا القوت. The portion or the share of this person from dunya is qut. Qut means sustenance. A level of money or any goods, any materials, tools of living that a person has, that is enough for him to have a decent life. There's a saying that if says, if that level of thing is enough for you, then this is enough. And if it's not enough, then nothing will be enough. About the greed. A person with perfect intellect has actually trained him or himself, herself, so that he or she does not have greed. This is very important. This is a sign of a person with perfect intellect, not having greed and being content with a decent life. We are not saying, or not the hadith, not the verses of the Holy Quran, that a person actually starts showing as a poor person or for advocating for living as a poor. No, we don't have that. Decency in life, and as much as a person can preserve his respect and can provide for his family and welfare to an acceptable level, is necessary. But you see some people, enough is never enough for them. Always looking for more, always trying to get more. And they already have what is enough for the decent life. So such people, they don't have perfect intellect. And the last one, wal-ashara, the last one, is what? Is the feeling that he doesn't see anyone, but he says he's better than me. Wal-ashara, la yara ahadan illa qal huwa khayrun minni. Such a feeling, such a sense, such a calculation that he has, that anyone is better than me. What does it mean? Some people would think that this is a mental problem, that, well, I say everyone is better than me in a spirituality. We're talking about the spirituality, not materialistic gains. In fact, we have this problem mostly in, like, for example, a person thinks that everybody's life is better than him in terms of the financial welfare. And no. In terms of a spirituality, a person with perfect intellect should have this attitude. What does it mean? We're going to have a break, and after the break, we have the discussion.
Dear listeners, you're listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. This is Hossein Latifi, and you're listening to a program for humanity from IRIB English Radio. In the first segment, we arrived at the last virtue in the prophetic hadith about perfect intellect, and we said the virtue and the feature and the sign of a person with perfect intellect is to have an attitude in terms of spiritual matters that he says others always are better than me. So what does it mean? The hadith explains it a little bit. لا يرى أحدا إلا قال هو خير مني وأتقى. He doesn't see anyone but he says he's better than me and he's more pious than me. إنما الناس رجلان. People are two groups. فرجل هو خير منه أتقى. It's possible that in reality such a person is better than him. In like apparently he's better than him, he's more pious. And so about such a person, you can say that. You can say that he's better than me. وَرَجُلٌ. And then we said people are two groups. The first group was the people who were really better. And there's the second group of people who don't look that good. Spiritually, in terms of the practices that they have, they don't look that good. وآخر هو شر منه أدنى. In reality, they're more evil. They're inferior in terms of the spirituality. فإذا رأى من هو خير من, such a person, when he sees people from the first group, تواضع له, he shows humbleness. He shows humility. ليلحق به. Because in any career, in any business, when you see a person who is better, then you try to get close to them, you try to be like them more, and this happens when you humble yourself. You can't just, for example, in any, as I said, in a sports, for example, a person knows soccer better than you. You want to learn from him. Then you have to show humility, you have to humble yourself. It doesn't happen like, unless you have it from somewhere else, but it's the only way, you have to be humble. So تواضع له ليلحق به. وإذا لقى الذي هو شر من, and if he meets a person who apparently is worse than him spiritually, قال عسى خير هذا باطن. He says there is a probability that the good in this person is hidden and the evil is manifest, and I should not judge based on the manifestation, based on the appearance. وَشَرُّهُ ظَاهِرُ وَعَسَىٰ أَنْ يُخْتَمْ لَهُ بِالْخَيْرِ. It's possible that he will have a good ending. حُسْنُ الْعَاقِبَةِ. I don't know about how we end our lives. Many people, evil people, apparently they ended their lives in a very good way. So they repented and they could make up for all the mistakes they had, and then they died and they met Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a purified heart. So this is about the judgment that we have in our heart. It doesn't talk about the duties that we have. Sometimes, yes, you have evil actions which you have to raise awareness, which you have to raise to stand against them. That is another discussion. Some people, they confuse these two occasions, situations. So the spiritual assessment that you have should be this. But the religious or jurisprudential duties that we have are different. And in those actions, we don't have judgments in the sense of a spiritual judgment. No, we say this is a bad act, it should stop. It doesn't mean we have judgment about people. About the person, you always should have the best possible judgment. But about the action, no, we have to try to stop that action. That is something that we should take care. But all in all, this attitude should be there in a person with perfect intellect. Always be humble at the depth of one's heart. Thank you very much for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Allahumma salli wa sallim ala rasuli wa alin nabiyil azim. Allahumma salli wa sallim ala rasuli wa alin nabiyil azim. اللهم صل وسلم على الرسول وآل النبي العظيم اللهم صل وسلم على الرسول وآل النبي العظيم.
In the limelight.
The Zionist regime is abusing UNRWA employees detained in Gaza in order to extract forced confessions against the agency, with detainees describing being subjected to acts of torture. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for the first part, please. The Electronic Intifada wrote, the Zionist regime is abusing UNRWA employees detained in Gaza in order to extract forced confessions against the agency, with detainees describing being subjected to acts of torture. The forced confessions are likely to be used by the Zionist regime in an attempt to incriminate UNRWA, the United Nations Agency for Palestine Refugees. The Zionist regime is seeking to starve UNRWA out of existence through smears and unsubstantiated allegations aimed at drying up the agency's voluntary funding. Philip Lazzarini, the head of the embattled agency, told the UN Security Council recently that the Zionist regime continues to block the provision of life-saving aid as part of its insidious campaign to push UNRWA out of the West Bank and the Gaza Strip. More than a dozen countries, including top donors US and Germany, froze funding or suspended future support for UNRWA after the Zionist regime alleged that 12 of its employees were involved in the October 7th operation. The allegations were made public by the agency on January 26, the same day that the UN's World Court stated there is a plausible risk of genocide in Gaza. The fabricated regime of Israel has not presented the UN with evidence substantiating its allegations. Despite this, UNRWA dismissed the employees in question. The UN Secretary General ordered an investigation and an independent review of the agency's adherence to neutrality is expected to make its findings public in the coming days. During the Security Council meeting recently, Gilad Erdan, the Zionist regime's ambassador to the UN, accused UNRWA of creating a sea of Palestinian refugees, millions of them indoctrinated to believe that Israel belongs to them, unquote. UNRWA provides government-like services to 5.9 million registered Palestine refugees in Gaza, the West Bank, Jordan, Lebanon, and Syria. The agency is mandated by the UN General Assembly to serve the hundreds of thousands of Palestinians who were displaced from their homeland during the ethnic cleansing of Palestine in 1948 and as a result of the 1967 and subsequent hostilities, as well as their descendants. Palestinian refugees' right of return is enshrined in UN General Assembly Resolution 194. The Zionist regime has denied Palestinians from exercising this right because doing so would alter the demographic character of Israel to the point of eliminating it as a Jewish state, as the UN's Economic and Social Commission for West Asia stated in a 2017 report. Several UN special rapporteurs stated in June 2023 on the occasion of World Refugee Day that since 1948, both the General Assembly and the Security Council have consistently called upon Israel to facilitate the return of Palestinian refugees and provide reparations. The special rapporteurs affirm that the right of return constitutes a fundamental pillar of the Palestinian people's right to self-determination. Around two-thirds of Gaza's population of 2.3 million Palestinians are refugees. Nearly every Palestinian in the territory has been displaced from their home in the past 6 months. And the Zionist regime has gunned down people attempting to return to the areas from which they were displaced. A majority of Gaza's population is now concentrated in Rafah, along the boundary with Egypt, raising fears of a mass expulsion from the territory. At least 178 UNRWA employees are among the 34,000 Palestinians murdered in Gaza since October 7th. The Zionist regime has banned UNRWA from delivering aid to Gaza's north as children are dying of hunger and dehydration in violation of consecutive orders from the International Court of Justice to allow the unimpeded flow of aid. Lazzarini told the Security Council that we demand an independent investigation and accountability for the blatant disregard for the protected status of humanitarian workers, operations, and facilities under international law. UNRWA staff released from Israeli detention told their employer that in addition to ill treatment that may amount to torture, they were subjected to threats and coercion and pressure during interrogations to incriminate the agency. These forced confessions against the agency included that the agency has affiliations with the resistance groups and that UNRWA staff took part in the October 7th operation against the Zionist regime. According to UNRWA, some staff members were detained during the performance to their official duties for the UN, including while working at UNRWA installations, and in one case during a coordinated humanitarian movement. Detained UNRWA staff were subjected to a litany of abuses, they say, such as beatings, including by doctors, attacks by dogs, and threats of rape and electrocution. The agency said that its employees underwent treatment akin to waterboarding and had guns pointed at them. UNRWA staff also experienced verbal and psychological abuse, threats of murder, injury or harm to family members, humiliating and degrading treatment, being forced to strip and being photographed while they are undressed and being forced to hold stressed positions. The agency has collected information from hundreds of Palestinians, men, women, and children who were detained in Gaza since the beginning of Israel's ground operation in late October last year. Palestinians in Gaza have been detained by Israeli regime forces while sheltering in UNRWA facilities under the protection of the UN flag since mid-November. They have also been detained while attempting to flee south while working in hospitals or in the sanctity of their homes. Overall, possibly thousands of Palestinians, men and boys, and a number of women and girls have been detained in Gaza, the UN Human Rights Office said in mid-December. UNRWA says that as of April 4th, it has documented the release of more than 1,500 detainees from Gaza through the Karam Abu Salem crossing with Israel, including 43 children and 84 women. Detainees said they were taken in trucks to various detention centers in Israel and held incommunicado in between periods of interrogation, sometimes for several weeks, according to UNRWA. The transfer and detention of detainees outside of occupied territory are war crimes that violate the Fourth Geneva Convention and Rome Statute of International Criminal Court. The Zionist regime authorities subjected Palestinians, men and women, children, older persons with disabilities, according to UNRWA, to ill treatment throughout their detention.
Fiqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked
the Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of
self-purification is the most significant
factor.
Imamat is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Well, welcome to another episode of the program Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short Farsi speech by Hujjatul Islam Qaraati. Please stay tuned.
انما المؤمنون فقط مؤمن واقعی کسانی است که آمنوا بالله و رسوله.
In the Holy Quran, Surah Al-Hujurat, Ayah 15, we read, "The faithful are only those who have attained faith in Allah and His Apostle." This means that the real mu'min is the one who believes in Allah and His Apostle and the successors of Prophet Muhammad on earth. The concept of faith or iman has degrees. For instance, there are some people who wear only black for commemorating the event of Karbala. Still, there are some people who attend the majalis of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. There are still some others who donate in memory of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. So their faith in Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam has different degrees.
بعضی ها هم مقدار مسلمان که بچهشون زنن حسین اسم بچهشون زنن حسین.
However, there are some people who only name their children as Hussein, but nothing in their lives is like a Muslim. They neither establish salat or pay zakat or fast during the holy month of Ramadan. In better words, they have the lowest degree of faith. Faith, as in the famous hadith we read, has 10 levels. In a hadith we read, "If you want to test your faith, you must see in what occasions you are ready to tell lies. Some people are ready to lose their faith for an ice cream, some for a car, some for a house, and some for money." This shows the different degrees of iman or faith and how easy some people might lose their faith as a Muslim. Thank you very much, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio Call of Islam page, for listening to this episode of the program Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short Farsi speech by Hujjatul Islam Qaraati. To find out more about this program, please log on to our website, parstoday.ir Call of Islam page. We leave you in Allah's care and goodbye.
Take pieces of bread from me, and your soul will never be broken. And if I am your haven, you will never be homeless. One whose cloak is me will never be naked. And one whose resort is me will never be destitute. God is above all powers. IRIB English Radio.
علي حبه جنة وسيم النار والجنة وسي المصطفى حقا إمام الناس والجنة.
The Gate of Knowledge. Exegesis and interpretations of the supremely eloquent sermons, letters, and sayings of the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him.
You are listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Mukhtar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. Dear listeners to IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I welcome you all to this episode of The Gate of Knowledge, where we are discussing about the topic of a guide for managers based on the teachings of Imam Ali alayhi salam in Nahjul Balagha. We are currently focusing on the 185th sermon of Nahjul Balagha, and we have discussed a few important points that were there in this particular sermon, and especially on the phrases that I had chosen, which are with regards to be careful about the blessings that we get and how to use them in a way that they should not make us engrossed and pull our attention away from our aims and objectives as a society. Imam Ali alayhi salam, he describes this particular state as a drunkenness, when a community and a society kind of becomes oblivious of its duties and its responsibilities towards the aims and objectives that it has achieved. It might be doing a lot of activities, but they are all in the wrong direction, and therefore they will see that their aims and objectives are not being achieved, and they feel that there is no progress. This is basically because of that kind of state that they enter into.
You are listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio, a program that presents a detailed commentary of Peak of Eloquence from the Master of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace be upon him.
We talked about the fact that these blessings can lead to many problems in the society if a person is not planned for them. One of them is that we notice the class difference between the rich and the poor becomes very vast. That means we see the difference and the gap between the rich and the poor increase. Another issue that can face is that we see people that were good in their lives, they become corrupt due to the wealth. They become spiritually corrupt, the families become divided, they become misguided, and many other problems that a community and a people can face because of this. Now, you see, it is when we look at societies in the past and we look at societies today even, and we look at families, for example, that suddenly became wealthy. or a person who was poor and suddenly becomes wealthy, we notice that sometimes it could be possible, and a person should not judge them, but a person may have witnessed a vast change in that person, and that change could not be positive at times. So we need to draw that line in our lives from the very beginning on how we will use that wealth, and that we will use it in the service of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Especially when the wealth becomes accumulated by people who are in position. And when that happens, then people, they lose hope in the system. So as this is especially focusing on the governments, that if there is a government and there are people that are working in the government, they need to be careful on how they achieve wealth and how they utilize that wealth, so that that balance remains and the people always remain hopeful in the community.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
Nahjul Balagha, translated as the peak of eloquence, is a compilation of sermons, letters, and sayings that reflected Imam Ali's profound insights on governance, ethics, spirituality, and social justice. Sayyid Razi's meticulous work in preserving and presenting Imam Ali's words has made Nahjul Balagha a timeless source of inspiration for scholars, theologians, and seekers of wisdom.
Now, we will go to other narrations from Imam Ali alayhi salam, especially when it comes to the wealth of the rich, of the people that are in power. So, Imam Ali alayhi salam, for example, says, "An-nasu bi umara'ihim ashbahu minhum bi aba'ihim." The riwayat says, it's in Tuhf al-Uqul, page number 208. He says that people are more similar to their leaders than they are to their fathers. Now, this is a kind of a dangerous narration. That means you as a leader of the society, you need to be really careful. Yes, the father and the parents and the family may have an influence, but your influence as a leader is more profound. You who are in a leadership position, however small or however big, note that you are creating an effect into the hearts of the people. So you need to be careful. Or for example, Imam Ali alayhi salam says in another narration, in another sermon of Nahjul Balagha, he says, "La taslahu ar-ra'iyatu illa bi-salahi al-wulat," that citizens will never become good and they will never change except when the leaders and the governors change. So again, this only emphasizes how we need to be careful about who we choose as leaders, who becomes a leader, and how a leader should be careful about his actions and his duties. And now, especially when we notice that the people notice that the leadership is just enjoying themselves, is just enjoying itself in terms of the material, material way, and at the same time, let's say it is misappropriating funds, misusing funds, and all of these things. If the people see this, then they will become like that. And this will be the start of the destruction of the society. So, this sukrun ni'mah, to become drunk because of the blessings, one of the areas where it can be damaging is when it affects the leadership and the people that are in authority. And that in turn can affect the whole society and cause destruction. And therefore we need to be very careful as people, especially if we have leadership positions, to make sure we live a life of purity and of integrity. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
You just listened to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Mukhtar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
قال النبي محمد من كنت مولاه هذا علي سيد فاز من ولاه هو بالكتاب مسدد والنور معناه باب العلوم ومرشد هو آيات الله من ناداه أو لبه حين دعاه نال مناه هو في الشدائد منجد والفضل يمناه هو في المحاسن أحمد والوحي رباه.
In the limelight.
The Lemkin Institute for Genocide Prevention has issued an active genocide alert over the situation for Palestinians in the occupied West Bank. Israel is committing genocide against Palestinians across Palestine, the Lemkin Institute said earlier this month. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. The Electronic Intifada wrote, recently, violence against Palestinians escalated sharply as large groups of Israeli settler mobs launched attacks on at least 17 Palestinian villages following the disappearance of an Israeli teenager. Zionist settlers killed thousands of chickens and dozens of sheep and stole others. They blocked entrances to villages, set Palestinian homes on fire, burnt hundreds of olive trees, injured dozens of Palestinians with live ammunition, and destroyed private Palestinian property, including cars and livestock pens. Zionist settlers were often accompanied and protected by the Israeli regime military. In total, between April 12th and 15th, seven Palestinians were murdered in the occupied West Bank, including at least two children. Palestinian human rights groups Al-Haq, Al-Mizan, and the Palestinian Center for Human Rights recently urged the international community, private actors, and businesses to respond to the widespread violent attacks against Palestinians and their property across the West Bank. Before October 7th, violence in the West Bank was already on pace to eclipse that of any year on record, the Lemkin Institute said, adding, with Israeli military forces killing roughly 200 Palestinians in the West Bank in the first 9 months of 2023. After the Zionist regime began its campaign of slaughter in the Gaza Strip, violence by Israeli regime settlers and the regime itself against Palestinians reached its peak in the West Bank. This made 2023 the deadliest year in the occupied West Bank since the UN monitoring group OCHA began recording casualties in 2005. The Lemkin Institute said, Israeli military forces continue a campaign of genocide and unprecedented violence in the West Bank. On April 12th, a 14-year-old Zionist settler went missing near the village of Al-Mughayr near Ramallah in the occupied West Bank. Despite no evidence linking the boy's disappearance or death to Palestinians, hundreds of settlers launched their rampage against Palestinian villages and communities in the West Bank on April 12th and 13th. He was found dead the next day near the settlement outpost of Malachi, HaShalom, which was constructed on private Palestinian land in 2015. The Israeli regime army labeled it a terrorist attack as soon as he was found dead, igniting violence from settler mobs against Palestinians. Under the watchful eye and protection of the Israeli regime army, some 1,500 to 2,000 settlers, some of whom were armed, stormed the village of Al-Mughayr over 2 days, Palestinian human rights groups said. Jihad Afif Abu Aliya, 25, was murdered during these attacks. He was shot in his head while protecting one of the homes targeted by Zionist settlers' attacks. The group said when Jihad was shot, he was among a group of around 25 to 27 Palestinians on the rooftop of a Palestinian home, which was surrounded by around 400 Israeli settlers. Settlers continue to fire at Palestinians as they attempt to evacuate Abu Aliya for medical attention, leaving him to bleed for 30 minutes. Zionist settlers completely burnt at least 14 homes and partially burnt 15 others in Al-Mughayr. They also completely destroyed more than a dozen livestock pens and partially burnt 4. Settlers also set fire to around 60 vehicles in the village. Settlers from the Beit El settlement also attacked the nearby village of Beitin on April 13th, where they set fires and vandalized Palestinian property. Palestinian residents of the village tried to confront the settlers to defend their community. The settlers fired live ammunition at them. Among those responding to distress calls was Omar Ahmad Abdul Ghani Hamed, a 17-year-old high school senior and the youngest of his siblings. Recently, a group of Zionist settlers opened fire on Palestinians in the village of Beitin, northeast of Ramallah, killing 17-year-old Omar Ahmad Abdul Ghani Hamed with a bullet to the forehead. He was shot in the head just as he arrived to the scene of the attack. The bullet entered his forehead and exited from the back, according to the Defense for Children International Palestine, which conducts field investigations of the killing of Palestinian children. He was pronounced dead shortly afterward. That same day, Zionist settlers launched violent attacks in Duma, Qusra and Sawiya, villages south of Nablus in the occupied West Bank. They set fire to 300 olive trees, destroyed livestock sheds and killed 40 sheep, as well as over 10,000 chickens, Palestinian rights groups said. In Duma, hundreds of armed settlers accompanied by Israeli regime troops opened fire on Palestinian residents. The Palestine Red Crescent Society reported that at least 5 village residents sustained injuries from live ammunition, knife attacks and physical assaults. The Palestinian human rights groups reported these latest attacks have resulted in the forcible displacement of 5 families from Duma and another 5 families from Qusra whose homes have been rendered completely uninhabitable due to these acts of arson. Meanwhile, during a military incursion on April 15th into Rafidia, a neighborhood in the eastern part of the city of Nablus, an Israeli troop shot and killed a Palestinian teenager, striking him in the head from a short distance. An Israeli troop inside a heavily armored military vehicle fatally shot 17-year-old Yazan Muhammad Fawzi Shataye in the chest from a distance of 20 to 30 meters in Nablus recently.